Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our eighth installment on the Haftoros of the 3 weeks. We've spent a lot of time on the beginning of the Haftorah. There's not that much time left for a number of psukim. I would like to highlight some of the imagery in the Haftorah. If you look at verse 13, Yud Gimel, Hashem says, Kishtayim ra'os asa'ami. My people have done two things wrong. Osi azvu mekor mayim chayim. They have left me the source of flowing water. Lachtsov lahem boros. So they can dig pits or cisterns. Boros nishbarim. Asher lo yachilu amoyim. And these pits sometimes might crack and might not be able to adequately hold the water. What's the image of this? So the Radak explains that if you have access to free-flowing water, it can come right to you. It's one of the amazing things about water that's flowing. As long as you're in the right place, it'll come to you. By definition, if you do a pit, you're waiting. You have to wait for it to rain. You have to wait for there to be a sufficient amount of rain for the pit to fill up. And then at that point, you can begin to benefit from the pit, from the well. So the Mekor Mayim Chayim, the source of flowing water, is God. Because whenever God wants to provide goodness to Jewish people, it's there. It's there right away. And you leave that, and you rely instead on wells. And that is other kings of the land. Because the point is, by other kings of the land, whatever you ask them to do, even if they want to help you, there'll be a terrible turnaround. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand your exact needs. They don't understand your exact motivations. There'll be so many communications back and forth. So it's the equivalent of turning down a spring that's flowing right to you in exchange for wells that you're just waiting for the rainwater to come. And then, of course, sometimes the well doesn't hold the water as well as you would like. And that connotes the fact that the kings of the land, even once they, you know, jump into action, it's very possible they won't be as effective as you would like. So why in the world would you turn away from God's spring of water for cisterns and wells from other people? It doesn't make any sense. That's how the Radak explains it. The very next pasuk, very powerful to think about. Ha'eved Yisrael im yilid ba'yishu. Is Israel a servant to God? Is that the way Israel views itself? Is that the way Israel wants God to view it? Imulid Bayesu, isn't Israel born of the household? Isn't that how Israel should view itself? This is a very powerful point, very important to think about during this period. We know that we need to improve ourselves in order to merit the ultimate redemption and ultimate rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Okay, it could be we need to do certain mitzvos better. That could very well be. And then if that's the case, we need to think about it and galvanize, etc. But probably an overarching thing is, where are we emotionally? Are we emotionally engaged? Are we emotionally attached to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way? Do we see ourselves as servants, or do we see ourselves as children? If we see ourselves as children, that obligates a certain type of devotion to God, in a sense, more than the servant. But if we view ourselves as children, we're much more likely to receive that devotion back many times over. And it's interesting, the Radak explains that the end of Pasuk Yudalid, Madua Hayalavaz, why is it that Israel is disgraced, is actually the question by Israel. Why is it? Klal Yisrael sits there wondering, why are we so disgraced? And of course, the implicit answer is, you're not doing such a great job of serving God in the first place, but you're not even serving God as a child. You're serving God as a servant. And this is a very important thing for us to reflect on. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.